Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are talking a little bit around, you know, skills, the professional workplace. What is that going to look like in the next, you know, coming decade? Do we have the skills? Should we be, you know, should we all be enrolling in online courses? Should we all be trying to get a second degree? And to help us to unpack, you know, some of these issues, we are joined by Michael Gulan, who is the CEO of GNG Advocacy, to discuss some of these issues. Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mudiwa.
I think a good place for us to start is maybe getting, you know, a little bit of an understanding. I hope I did pronounce your name correctly as Gulan.
Yes, that's right.
All right. So GNG Advocacy, just a little bit around that. And I guess, you know, what's your interest when it comes to this issue of a possible skills gap that we might be facing in South Africa?
But anyway, yes, GNG Advocacy was born out of a business that we have already, which is GNG Digital. And I've been exposed to corporate South Africa for the last 15 years. One of the things we've noticed is the degree to which corporates grapple with skills transfer and skills development. And a couple of years ago, sort of 4 years ago, we started developing skills in the e-learning and consulting space. And we've birthed GNG Advocacy as a second business that deals specifically with corporate e-learning and corporate online training. And it was fortuitous that our business started as the pandemic broke. And one of the things that we noticed is that corporates were wholly unprepared for the new landscape that we exist in terms of how they do, how they continue to train their staff members.
When it comes to, you know, all of that stuff, what actually, because like you said, it is quite fortuitous that you guys were able to, you know, start that just as, you know, people were getting into it. But that said, you know, one can look back, you know, hindsight is always 2020, as they say, and say you guys were probably on the money. But getting into the pandemic, did you guys think you were on the money to that extent?
Yeah, it's a good question. And no, I mean, we'd spent the last 3.5 years developing an e-learning platform, assembling a team of some of the best and most experienced professionals from the learning and training industries and consulting industries. One hates to use the term right time, right place, because it's not the right time. It's a terrible time that the world has found itself in, with the most devastating human and personal losses, not just from a loss of life, but just the impact on families around the world. But our business launched at a time when there was such a need for businesses to figure out how do they have continuity of skills development and training in a place where they no longer can be face-to-face with large groups of people. And so it was the right time and right place, Mudiwa, in the respect that we're able to assist companies now to train at scale online as opposed to in a classroom environment.
I think, you know, one of the big questions then becomes, in the current environment, is it an issue of upskilling or is it an issue of reskilling? Because I can imagine that, you know, some of the requirements are now, you know, completely different, because usually when we upskill, we are, you know, sort of adding on to a particular knowledge base. But, you know, because of how different things are at the moment, you know, I can imagine that, you know, there's completely new skill sets that people are having to learn out there. Or am I completely off base on that one?
No, you're absolutely right on that one. It's been very interesting for us, we really deal with the large corporates across multiple industry types. And one of the most interesting learnings for us, Mudiwa, has been that it hasn't just been upskilling, but definitely reskilling. A large number of employees in corporate organizations have had no idea how to do simple things like attend webinars. So a technology platform that allows for information dissemination and upskilling to a very large degree has been quite frightening for a lot of sort of average mid-level workers in corporates who haven't really known how to, A, watch a webinar, B, engage in video calls and that sort of thing. And so there's been a need, quite simply, to upskill from a technology point of view a large portion of the workplace to create that base where they're comfortable with technology to start to engage on technology platforms for that, for that then increase sort of skills development.
And you know, I guess going on from that, what role do you think technology, you know, has played in all of this, you know, learning? Because I think going into the pandemic, we already knew that we're living in a digital world, and talking to a lot of, you know, the tech nerds, they will tell you that the rate of digitalization has been accelerated over the last couple of months. You know, on the side of upskilling, how has that transfer been? Because in a lot of cases, people would go to university or short courses at a Gibbs or a Wits Business School or any other, you know, professional learning institution, you know, after work, you know, attend classes in person, you know, it's all paid for by the corporate, etc. But now, you know, it's a completely different paradigm that we are playing around in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the rate of digital transformation in the corporate landscape or the corporate environment in the pandemic world that we've been living in has vastly accelerated the adoption of technology in the business place, A, to do business, B, to communicate, and C, to continue to develop skills and knowledge. I think that at a simple level, those businesses that embrace things like Microsoft Teams, as we're meeting on today, that have embraced that and adopted the use of technology platforms like that, have been able to have the most efficient and smooth business continuity. And with that business continuity has been the ability to continue to engage no longer physically face-to-face, but video face-to-face. And with that has been the ability to continue to transfer knowledge and information. So at a base level, the adoption of technology platforms like Microsoft Teams has been absolutely critical. And those businesses that have adopted them quickly and have ensured that their staff members have been efficient and comfortable on those platforms have reaped the benefits. And companies that have resisted the simplest technology, like we're talking about now, have seen, I think, very large interruptions in their business. And that then moves, as you said just now, to e-learning platforms and vendors that offer both short and long-term e-learning courses. Again, companies that have embraced the ability to do skills development and training using e-learning vendors and platforms quickly have been able to have continuity of training. And you know, the thing about Madiwa about e-learning training is it's not just the skills transfer, but it's the impact on the employees in an organization in terms of them feeling they're continuing to learn and grow. So some of the research that we've seen is that in corporate environments where there's been a complete absence of skills development and training, it has left employees feeling like their careers are in limbo. But those companies that have been quick to ensure that they've put e-learning courses in place have created an environment where their employees continue to feel like they're learning and growing, and so they're motivated and the culture of the organization remains robust and healthy.
I'd like to put you on the spot a little bit here. Just to understand, Michael, you know, in your own journey, because, you know, we're talking a lot about the type of help and the type of assistance that you guys are giving to corporates when it comes to this issue. But I guess in your own, I guess, personal life or in your own organization, how have you guys implemented some of these things?
It's a great question. You certainly have put me on the spot, and I appreciate that. We've done it in a number of ways. Firstly, we've ensured, and as an active digital business, we had a fairly sort of long-term horizon of how the world was evolving. And so the moment we got wind of the fact that the business landscape would change and the world would go into a lockdown, or South Africa would go into a lockdown environment, we ensured that we were able to run our business on technology, working from anywhere, not needing to meet face to face. And as soon as we had that basic level of digital infrastructure in place, we then looked at our business and said, well, how do we ensure that the people in our company are able to continue to develop knowledge and skills. And we've approached it in a twofold manner. One, we actually developed a learning plan. So going back to April last year, we sat as an executive team and we started to map out the learning plan and went, okay, over the next year, what are the different types of knowledge we need to ensure we have continuity of development in our business, and what does that look like? And then we layered a plan where we did things like informal training sessions, as you would sort of around a water cooler or a Friday afternoon get together for a, you know, half an hour or an hour knowledge transfer in any corporate environment. We brought that online. And then we introduced a series of more formal courses, initially using vendors like Udemy and Get Smarter, and then quickly developed our own courses that are relevant to our business, which we rolled out in the last couple of months. So we've certainly walked the talk, and we found that that's been incredibly valuable in retaining good people and motivating them and ensuring that their knowledge continued to grow, which they could apply back into the business.
All right. I think that's, you know, that's actually really cool. At least, like you said, you're walking the talk. And the other piece of the puzzle is maybe getting a sense of employees, or, you know, at whatever level, sometimes don't know or understand the type of benefits that they have when it comes to, I guess, upskilling, further education and things like that. I remember when I was in business school a few years ago, one of our professors was really an advocate to say that, you know, if you're in a corporate environment, there are CETAs, there are learnerships, there's a lot of government funding that is there to reimburse corporates when it comes to, you know, any learning that you might want to do to develop yourself. So, you know, don't be shy to take, you know, further learning opportunities that may come up. Is that an issue that you sort of see, that some people don't know that there's all of these resources that are available to actually assist when it comes to further learning?
Absolutely. I think that in our experience to date, that's been the area where corporates have struggled the most to pivot to a digital or e-learning offering within their businesses. Is how do they do that and ensure that they're CETA compliant and ensure that the broadest spectrum of the employees can benefit from the training? You know, in the shorter term, e-learning has allowed corporates to deal with a certain sector of their workforce, and let's say sort of mid-level upwards, more educated, greater access to technology, more comfortable working on technology. But we know and appreciate that that leaves a very, very important spectrum of the workforce in South Africa behind, you know, left behind, that have generally done classroom training, and a lot of that classroom training is CETA compliant and that sort of thing. So one of the challenges that we found with corporates and with the CETAs is how do we very quickly develop training that addresses the needs of the broader sector of the workforce and is CETA compliant. And that's, I would say, the last sort of 8 or 9 months has been a time when we've been working very closely with our corporates and the CETAs to figure out how we address that. And we're quite excited now that we've been able to start to develop some courses for our corporate clients that are fully CETA compliant and cover a far broader spectrum of the employee base, which I think is absolutely critical in the South African environment.
All right. And I guess coupled with that issue then is, I don't know how else to say this, but when it comes to the further learning, whether online or otherwise, one of the key issues that people tend to have problems with is just simple time, right? I've got my kids, I've got my family, work is stressing me out, I've got all of these assignments, I've got projects. You know, in some cases, I might be running different teams and I'm saying to myself, do I really have time, you know, for some of these things? So is there any assistance when it comes to managing time, or actually showing people that there is, you know, if you look at your day, you do have X amount of time that you can take out to do these things. Because even whether you're attending a lecture or whether you're doing it online, there's still that time for you to actually sit down, consume the material, comprehend the material, you know, whatever time you need for if there's any exams or any assessments that need to be done, you know, that always just seems to be a factor. Do you think technology has assisted in any way when it comes to that concern?
It's an absolutely excellent question, Madhu. And I tell you, the heart of your question talks to the reason why e-learning and the corporate environment has historically failed. And it has, it's been the most interesting component of our journey. So a big part of what we do, G&G Advocacy as an e-learning business, is consulting. And there's the notion in corporate South Africa that you take a traditional classroom-based long-form course and simply upload it as a PowerPoint or PDF document, and then you insist that your staff members do the course or there'll be consequences. Now, that implies a very limited understanding of adult learning. And I think to the heart of your question, the most important consideration is understanding the challenges that adult learners face. And it's all about time, as you summed up so well, Madhiva. So the key is if we understand how adults learn and the challenges they have, the challenging sort of demands for their attention and time during a working day and after hours day, and we then structure learning material with an understanding of that, we can succeed better. And at the core of that, it's about taking information and breaking it up into what we call bite-sized pieces of information. So for an adult learner to most effectively learn, we need to develop training material in small bite-sized pieces of information. So we trademarked a methodology called content capsules, which is really taking the notion of micro-learning one step further. And we make it possible for adult learners to learn in 5 to 10 to 15 minute bites of information. And that information, A, is quicker to go through, quicker to process and assimilate and then apply in the workplace. And so I think in an adult learning environment, if we can use technology and learning science and an understanding of adult learning to provide learning in smaller pieces of information, our adult learners who time-strapped are able to fit that more effectively into their day-to-day routines. And over the longer term, take continual bites of information, assimilate it, and retain it, and then apply it in the workplace more effectively. And then if you layer that with gamification and incentives, you have a very successful learning environment. I think the biggest challenge is where corporates go, hey, you've got to do your learning or we're going to punish you, versus going, you know, as human beings, we thrive on recognition. So if an e-learning program at its core also has things like incentives and gamification, so when somebody achieves or passes something, there's an in-learning sort of notification that acknowledges a success, people are more likely to continue down their learning journey. And so I think it's a combination of those factors that drives effective learning in the corporate environment.
All right. And then as we end off the discussion, how do you propose that people actually go about finding a course that is right for them? I obviously expect you to, you know, to say that they should just come to G&G Advocacy. But for those that can't or those that do want to, how do they go about picking the right course?
Yeah, look. First of all, it's the corporates that would come to us and we develop courses for them. But the average sort of the individual worker in a corporate environment that feels that their learning is being neglected by their company, I would recommend that they go online and they look at course vendors like the Udemy's and the Get Smarters of this world. And there are a number of them. And find a course that's a short course. I think the most important thing that adult learners can do who want to continue to expand their knowledge is to find courses that are shorter, that give them the ability to move through fairly rapidly, and that have been developed with media, effective media, things like videos and short-form content that allows them to grasp the information fairly quickly. I would recommend that learners don't try and take on long 4, 6, 8 month courses if it's their first time that they're grappling with e-learning, because it just gets discouraging and it's difficult to fit into a day-to-day sort of career and demands of working. That would be my recommendation.
All right. So that's been us with Michael Gulan, who is the CEO of GNG Advocacy, talking about what they've been doing. The business was born out of, out of their other organization. And he was saying that over the years, just experiencing, interactions with corporates, they recognized what was going on in terms of, the lack of skills and the lack of upskilling that's been happening in the corporate space. And they've started developing, courses, for corporates, and just talking about the fact that because of the pandemic and all the shifts that have happened, they have found themselves doing a lot of reskilling together with the upskilling, which has always been the traditional way of doing things. He says that technology is a big game changer, especially when it comes to things like time management and also just getting that return on the investment that people do make, and actually encouraging people to actually look at their options and see that they are able to find time, and there's a lot of resources that are available when it comes to further learning and all of these things going forward. I think one of the big takeaways on my end is just the fact that I guess learning never ends. Sometimes when you are in high school, for example, and you're really tired of school at the end of the long day, you somehow think that at the end of high school, at the end of university, that's where it ends. But someone like Michael's here to tell us that now life, learning is sort of a lifelong activity. So we thank him for joining us on the show. Michael, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is Mudiwa's Tech.
A very fascinating discussion talking to Michael just around continuous learning. I think that's the quote-unquote official term that they give to this particular topic. And for me, definitely, it's something that I've personally participated in. And I was one of those people that thought that after, when I was in high school, I thought that after university, you're sort of done. But, after that, I've gone, beyond just the first degree and honors and all of that, and just a few professional courses here and there, and there is always something else to learn. There's always a new qualification. There's always a new certification that you can get. But more than anything else, even if it's not in a formal environment, just going online and just learning things, some of those online courses, you heard about some of the resources such as Udemy, Coursera, etc. You can really go online and gain, a lot of skills. I've been able to learn, a lot of things. Like right now, we're doing a podcast, and I've learned a lot around audio recording, audio production, sound design, sound engineering, just based on doing the work, but also just going online, seeing what people are doing, what are these resources, communities around, let's say Adobe Audition, for example, what are the mics, what are the, the best sound cards, the best, recording pieces of software, all of that. You really can go down a rabbit hole, and in whatever area you are in, there's always a resource that can help you to learn. So definitely encouraged. It would be good to get Michael back into here, in a few months, whether some of these trends that we've spoken about today do continue going forward. So that's been it for this edition. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Life. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. On Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gabaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.